morning is Muller v. Astru, 11-30-13. Mr. Schultz.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Ms. Both, Barry Schultz on behalf of the plaintiff, James Muller. The Commissioner's brief to this Court largely relies on precluded post hoc rationalization because it had to, because the Administrative Law Judge's decision includes almost no analysis of the facts and evidence in this case.
It looks pretty much to be boilerplate.
It's pretty much boilerplate.
And she's got the wrong gender.
With the wrong, yeah, poor Mr. James W. Muller being called she.
Yes, and I'm sure that the claimant was not happy to read that decision. It does just go to the whole tenor that the ALJ didn't properly evaluate this case, didn't recognize that the claimant was actually a man, gave just boilerplate conclusory reasons for rejecting the treating doctor's opinion, even fewer evidentiary findings in terms of the claimant's credibility. In this case, the commissioner argues that there is sufficient evidence by which this court can affirm the ALJ's decision. But in fact, because the ALJ doesn't discuss any of the evidence, the ALJ doesn't discuss the treatment notes, this court can't determine what the ALJ would have decided had she actually evaluated the evidence. For example, at page 25 of his brief to the court, the commissioner says that the treating psychiatrist's opinion was not supported by objective evidence, and then she cites to three treatment notes from February of 2009, November of 2008, and September of 2008. The ALJ doesn't mention any of those specific notes. And in February of 2009, the plaintiff's therapist said that Mr. Muller wanted to get out to meet people, but he wasn't leaving his house. And in fact, in the March 2009 treatment note with that therapist, again, he wanted to get out and meet people, but he wasn't leaving his house. And she was encouraging him to go out for short periods of time so he'd feel comfortable, but he didn't do that. April of 2009 was the same thing, whereas the ALJ doesn't analyze any of that. In the November 2008 treatment note, the plaintiff's mood was described as anxious and nervous. The doctor increased his dose of Risperdal, and Mr. Muller said that he was sleeping 15 hours a day. The ALJ doesn't address that evidence or how it would impact the claimant's ability to sustain work. Similarly, in September of 2008, while Mr. Muller did say that his concentration was better on his medication, he said it was still bad. He said he had more good days than bad days, but there is no indication of how many good days that was. It could be 20 good days a month and 10 bad days, but if he's not leaving his house 10 days a month because of his depression or bipolar disorder, he can't sustain work. In addition, Dr. Wright in September of 2008 indicated that plaintiff described classic manic symptoms, including mood swings lasting more than 4 days at a time. And Dr. Wright, one of his opinions was that Mr. Muller would miss work more than 4 days a month. Well, it may be because he understood that Mr. Muller was having mood swings which lasted longer than that, and that would cause him to miss work at those times. The only real specifics that the ALJ relies on are as a mischaracterization of the evidence concerning the plaintiff's past work. The ALJ says, well, he worked with the same level of symptomology and mental illness in the past, so there's no reason he couldn't do that.
But these are these failed work efforts, right? The 3 months here.
There were three failed work efforts. That's right. All the other work efforts were prior to the time that the plaintiff alleged that he became disabled. So that can't be inconsistent with his testimony. He wasn't claiming to be disabled at that time. But then the ALJ doesn't acknowledge or discuss the fact that he tried unskilled jobs three different times, was fired every time for poor performance, inability to maintain pace, inability to keep himself from going into other departments and talking to coworkers and distracting them. Again, there's just no discussion of any of that, and it's a mischaracterization of the evidence.
In the personal needs stuff, ALJ writes, she attends to his own personal needs, and she is able to fish, pick up after herself, watch television, mow her lawn, and perform other household tasks. But where's the evidence? Your brief says that it took him 2 days to mow the lawn. And I assume we're not talking about a rural lawn. Maybe we are. It's a two-day lawn.
Well, he didn't testify as to – it's on page 179 of the administrative record. It was a form that he filled out and submitted to the administration at their request. He also said he only mows the lawn when he thinks about it. So it wasn't that he was even doing it on a regular basis. He did it when he got around to it. And that's the thing with all of his daily activities. They were all the kinds of things that he could do when he wanted to do it. You know, this record shows that he was spending most of his time. He's a 40-year-old man. He's spending most of his time in his bedroom. He's not going out. He has some friends he might see once a month. He actually told the consultative examiner
that... nothing to do with the outcome of this case. So where is he now?
He's still living at home. With his mother and sister. You know, the ALJ finds that he lived an independent lifestyle, but again, yeah, he could make himself sandwiches and he could cook food in a microwave. Apparently he could pay his bills, although what bills he had, we don't know. Because again, he was living in his mother's home. His mother and sister did most of the housework. There really is just nothing that this administrative law judge says in terms of specific findings that support her decision. Because of the opinion of the treating psychiatrist, we requested and request that this court consider reversing and awarding benefits because there was a psychiatrist the claimant saw regularly. He saw a therapist at the suggestion of the psychiatrist. He was under medication. And based on even the commissioner acknowledges that given if Dr. Wright's opinion were accepted, a finding of disability would be appropriate. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Ms. Baltz.
May it please the Court, my name is Shefali Baltz and I represent the Commissioner of Social Security. Mr. Mueller alleges disability beginning in September of 2008 due to difficulty concentrating and focusing due to symptoms from his bipolar disorder. Just prior to the relevant period in June of 2008, Mr. Mueller complained of symptoms of depression and his doctor prescribed Prozac. Then, in July, Mr. Mueller began experiencing symptoms of racing thoughts, unstable moods, problem sleeping, anger, and impulsivity, and he went to a mental health clinic. He was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. He continued to have these symptoms in August, and he also complained of suicidal ideation. At that point, Mr. Mueller was hospitalized, and his medication was changed to Risperdal. It was noted that the Prozac he was on may have contributed to destabilizing his mood and causing his manic symptoms. After that, during the relevant time period, Mr. Mueller continued on his medication and sought treatment with Dr. Wright, a psychiatrist, and a counselor. The evidence demonstrates...
Let me just interrupt you because, I mean, we have the ALJ's opinion, which is what we need to look at. And as Judge Sykes said, it's boilerplate. It contains virtually nothing that would really help us know whether this is supported by substantial evidence or not. There are just these sweeping things. It doesn't come to grips with any of the serious evidence in the record, and indeed it makes extraordinary mistakes, not just the gender mistake, which is hard to justify, but trying to portray as a positive his work experience, trying to portray as a positive his daily activities. I mean, there's nothing there. I mean, you make an effort in your brief to say maybe we should ignore Chenery here, but this is not just a question of a few more details that feed into something the ALJ said. There's just no there.
Well, we agree that this isn't a perfect decision. However,
that's not quite what I said. I think I was a little harsher than that.
A modest understatement.
The ALJ did provide a rationale for rejecting Dr. Wright's opinion. And if you look at the evidence that goes to that rationale, that evidence does support the ALJ's decision.
Yeah, the rationale is, I'm sitting here looking, it says, the opinion by Dr. Wright that the claimant is unable to perform many mental activities of work is directly contradicted by the claimant's description of her daily activities by the objective medical evidence of record, blah, blah, blah. And it's not contradicted by his description of his daily activities. It's not contradicted by other medical evidence. I mean, I don't know, without further fleshing out of that paragraph, for example, X, for example, Y, for example, Z, I don't know what we have to review.
Well, if you look at the underlying objective evidence, the evidence suggests that once Mr. Mueller was treated with the proper medication for his bipolar symptoms, he did improve.
Well, but that's your characterization of the evidence. It's certainly not Mr. Schultz's characterization of the evidence. So it suggests that there's some work that needs to be done with that evidence. And the person who's supposed to do that work is the ALJ. Not you, not us. It's the ALJ. I mean, we're not supposed to just sit there with the raw data and come up with a decision about who gets Social Security disability benefits and who doesn't. It's the ALJ, and the ALJ hasn't done it.
Again, it's the commissioner's position that the ALJ provided reasons for the conclusions she came to, and this court can reasonably trace the path of what the ALJ considered in arriving at her findings.
Well, here's another thing the ALJ has to say about daily activities. In activities of daily living, the claimant has a mild restriction. She is able to perform a wide range of activities during the day, and she is not particularly limited in her ability to perform normal daily activities due to symptoms of mental interments. She is able to perform household tasks, attend your own personal needs, drive an automobile, fish, and mow the lawn. I mean, that's really...
You have almost the irresistible impulse to think he's talking about a different patient altogether.
You do. There's no evidence of that in this record, even if we were to dig into the evidence.
Well, first, I'd like to apologize for the ALJ's mischaracterizing Mr. Mueller as a female, but...
That's the least of the problems.
But I think if you do look at the evidence of record, that the objective, for instance, the objective evidence does show that Mr. Mueller improved.
But improved might mean he's only sleeping 13 hours a day instead of 15. Improved doesn't tell us anything about vocational capability.
Well, and there were state agency psychologists who reviewed much of this evidence, and they also came to the conclusions that Mr. Mueller could perform unskilled work. So there was...
They were not examining people.
No.
But they did never review, laid eyes on the man.
But they did review much of the evidence, and the evidence they reviewed at the time they reviewed it did show improvement, and there wasn't evidence after that period which would show anything that was a significant change from what they reviewed.
We realize that you have to work with what you have to work with, so we'll just have to see what we can do with this opinion.
Okay, moving on, the commissioner believes that the evidence that underlying the ALJ's rationale did support her decisions, and based on such evidence, the ALJ reasonably concluded that Mr. Mueller was capable of performing unskilled work where he would be limited in his contact to only frequent contact with the general public and with coworkers. And based on the ALJ's RFC, or residual functional capacity finding, the ALJ relied on vocational expert testimony to find that he could perform his past work or other jobs in the economy. If this court has no further questions, we respectfully ask that the court affirm the district court's decision and find that Mr. Mueller was not, the ALJ's finding that Mr. Mueller was not disabled was supported by substantial evidence as more fully set forth in our brief.
Okay, thank you. Anything further, Mr. Schultz? Apparently not. Thank you very much. We will take the case under advisement.